Well, you know, watching the Colts, as usual, they look pretty good. You know, 8-0, and they've won games in different ways, scoring points, playing defense, turning the ball over, you know, making big plays at the end like they usually do, or getting out in front and kind of coasting along. So, you know, offensively, they look as potent as ever. And even though there's some new faces in there in the receiving group, and defensively, you know, some new faces in the secondary, but Mathis and Freeney, Kroc, you know, they still are very, very tough up front. Linebackers run well, and they turn the ball over. They rush the passer well. Very disciplined team on defense in terms of gap control and things like that. So, real good football team, well coached, execute extremely well, and they create a lot of problems and a lot of tough matchups. So, we know we got to work it out for us on this one Sunday night. But at the same time, we're, you know, looking forward to getting going. And you know, it seems like we play these guys every year. It's always an important kind of game, and you know, this one's no exception.
Bill, obviously what Peyton does is, and what the offense does is pretty complex. Was it like this when you first saw it? I don't know, whenever you first faced Peyton Manning, or has it, like, dramatically expanded since you first started doing it?
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear the question. How did
I'm wondering. Has what they do on offense dramatically expanded during his time in the league, or was it as expansive when he first, you know, became quarterback?
You know, I think they've definitely expanded it over a period of years, but they do a good job of having the things that they need. There might be something that they haven't run in a year or half a season or whatever for the situations that didn't come up, and then they pull it out and when they need it, and they get it against the situation or the look or the coverage that, you know, somebody springs on them, and they know how to pretty much beat everything, and they have their ways of doing it. So whatever defenses you run, that'll trigger concepts that they'll use against them. You might not have the exact formation, or they change their personnel groups around, but they attack, you know, whether it's split safety coverage or post safety coverage or pressure or four-man line or three-man line or stunning or two-gapping or, you know, whatever the defensive system is, they have ways they want to attack it, and then when they see it, then that's kind of what they go to. So I wouldn't say they have a lot of changes. It's kind of the exact opposite of the Miami offense. They don't motion a lot. They kind of sit in the same formation. They want to see where you're at, and then they'll go ahead and go to work and dissect it. So that's sort of the challenge that we have there. But I'd say the things they've expanded their offense with have been things that they felt like there was a need for, or that they found a better way to attack something they had in the past, and they go to it that way.
Bill, curious on your thoughts about the different styles of games that you've had against the Colts, just sort of the pace of games. We've seen some sort of back and forth that seemed like whoever would have the ball last would win, and then we've seen other slowdown type games where it seemed like one third down stop, and that, you know, that could be the difference in the game. What are your thoughts on that, and what do you expect this time?
Well, you know, we expect a tough game, like it always is with Indianapolis. Scoring-wise and all, you know, who knows? And anytime you put turnovers into a game, that could, you know, change the scoring and the pace of the game dramatically. So I think in terms of preparation, you know, what we want to do is prepare for the basic, you know, parts of the game, the things we know we're going to have, first, second, third down situations, red area, and then kicking situations and all that, and then, you know, be ready for some specific things, like 2-minute and, you know, goal line, end of the half, backup kind of plays, you know, very specific situational things, and make sure that we're ready on those too, because as you know, those games are some of our games with the Colts have come down to that, whether it be a, you know, goal line play on the 1 yard line, or, you know, a 2 minute play or a field goal, last second field goal, or a, you know, Hail Mary type of situation, things like that. So, you know, we're not going to try to predict the way the game's going to go. We just want to be ready to, you know, to play through the situations, know how we want to handle the things that they do, and also how we want to try to attack them, make sure that we're all on the same page so that we can, you know, go out there and be aggressive in a real hostile environment. And that's really what we're trying to get set up here today and tomorrow.
Given what their offense can do, I'm sure this is sort of the case every week, but a little more important this week to have your offense stay on the field with some ball control stuff. I need some of that against some power stuff against the Dolphins too.
Well, I think the most important thing is to score points, and you know, I think you're a lot better off being on the field a shorter amount of time and scoring a touchdown than being out there a longer amount of time and kicking a field goal, or, you know, or giving them back the ball, you know, punting it down to their own 10-yard line or whatever, but not coming out of there with any points. I think when you play the Colts, you got to feel like you need to score to win. And field position, although it's important, that can be erased in a hurry with an explosive offense like the Colts have. They can, you know, they can get 20, 30, 40 yards in a hurry and negate that field position. So, like I said, it's important, but the most important thing is scoring points and not giving them up. And really last year's game, I think, you know, showed that. It really came down to red area efficiency, and they were a little better than we were in that area. The year before, you know, came down to some turnovers, and we had a little edge there. So turnovers, red area, third down, just in general taking advantage of the scoring opportunities and not giving up easy ones and making sure that you make them work for it. You know, I think those are some of the main keys in this game.
In what ways have you seen Jim Caldwell put his imprint on this team?
Well, defensively, they're, you know, they're a little bit different than they were last year schematically. You know, I'm not sure exactly, you know, how much of that is Caldwell, how much of it's Larry Coyer. But in any case, you know, I think they've got they've got a number of young players, you know, new players on the roster. And so obviously Jim's done a great job of getting all that to come together in a very productive way. They don't make many mistakes. They don't beat themselves. They don't give up a lot of long plays. They don't turn the ball over. They don't have a lot of dumb penalties. So they play very, very sound, very fun, good fundamental football, and they make you go out there and beat them. And so far, nobody's been able to do that.
Bill, there's been, I know you talked about this a little bit last night on the radio too, but some talk about Larry Johnson being released. Would you guys, or will you guys, put in a claim for him, and are you interested if he passes through?
We would discuss that organizationally here this afternoon and decide what, if anything, we want to do. To be honest with you, right now we've just been concentrating on Indianapolis, and, you know, our pro people are doing that. We kind of do that every week at this time. Our pro people go through the guys that are available over the weekend, whether it be waivers or, you know, teams that have had injuries or, you know, changes in a guy's player's physical status or guys that we've worked out or other teams have worked out or whatever it is. And then that all, after all that, it's not just about one guy, but after all that gets done, then we kind of talk about the whole, you know, group and what our plans are for the week and, you know, whether it's to work a guy out or claim a guy or talk to the player or his representatives or whatever it happens to be. So, you know, that's something that we'll do between now and 4 o'clock.
Bill, question on substitutions. Am I right in the understanding that if the offense substitutes, the defense has the right to match that substitution?
Unless it's in the 2 minutes.
Under 2 minutes to play?
Yes.
Okay. And in terms of that,
yeah, there's no match in under 2 minutes. If any substitutions after the 2 minute warning, you're on your own.
So, but I'm before the 2 minute warnings. What is the expectation for a coach? If you're on defense now, what is the expectation from how that's managed by the officials in terms of being able to not just get your guys on the field, but get them in position? Because that seems like it's been something that has come up in the past, I think, on both sides when these teams have met.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Well, as you know, Mike, it's an offensive league, and most of the rules are put into, help the offense and scoring and all that. And the substitution rules, obviously wasn't a lot of consideration given to defensive coaches or defensive play calling. So, the issue is whether, in the official's mind, whether you get the proper number of players on the field. And from a coaching standpoint, it's not just getting the proper number of players on the field, but it's getting them to, as you said, get lined up in whatever you're playing, and everybody knows and understands what that is. So, whether an official can figure that out or not, is arguable, but I don't think they really care about that. As long as they got 11 out there and you got 11, I think they're okay with it. But defensively, it's a problem because even if you get the right guys out there, if everybody doesn't know what to do in a substituted situation, then you're a little bit of a disadvantage. So you got to find a way to work through that. And I don't think you can count on the officials to really fully give you an opportunity to match up. They just don't do it.
Bill, I think Scott said last.
You got to handle the situation yourself.
Sorry.
Bill, I have a question about the third quarterback rule. Because you only have two, I wanted to ask if you'd ever given any thought to designating somebody else as your third quarterback on game day, like the Buffalo Bills have been doing with Roscoe Parrish.
We thought about that. I mean, that's a possibility. That's something that if it was the right situation, we thought it could be advantageous and within the rules, which there are a lot of third quarterback rules and situations that encompass all that that you have to look at. But sure, we would consider that, absolutely.
Maybe there's a wrinkle in the rule, and please educate me if there is, but would there be a disadvantage to not just having an extra guy out there in uniform that you might be able to use in an emergency situation? He doesn't. If you get to the fourth quarter, he doesn't have to go into the game as the quarterback, does he?
Well, the whole point of the rule, though, is really to be able to utilize that player if something happens to your first two guys. And so, I think if you didn't really have any intention of using that guy as a third quarterback, if Rich Orenberger was your third quarterback, then I don't really know what advantage that would. I don't know what real advantage that would be for you. So. I understand the question. I'm not trying to be evasive. I'm saying, yeah, that's something that we have talked about, and there's some very specific rules and situations that come into play. If we feel like that's a beneficial thing to do, then we consider it, absolutely.
In preparing for games like this against a guy like Peyton Manning, you've done it 10 times already now, but do you notice a different type of visceral reaction to these games as you prepare for them, whether it be any extra excitement or nausea?
Well, it's hard to prepare for games every week in this league. Every team we play has talented players, great players, good coaches, good system, things that are legitimate threats to what you're trying to do, or what we're trying to do on our side of the ball. So, each week there's a lot of problems we have to face, and of course this week's no different. So, look, the Colts are a great team. They're 8-0, and I think we all know how competitive they've been, through the last decade. And I'm not trying to minimize their performance or the challenges that they present in any way. I'm just saying that those challenges exist on a weekly basis, and each one's different, each one's unique, and, you know, we have to prepare for each one differently. And every team we play is, you know, capable of beating us, and every team we play, we think we're capable of beating. So that's kind of the way we approach it every week. Not saying this isn't a good matchup, and you know, there's nobody we have more respect for than the Colts and what they've done through the years and how they've played against us. But the challenges are there every week.
All right, thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
All right, thank you.